Visiting today with Bob Rodenberger with Stockman's, here to get our cattle market wrap. So kind of just give us a wrap up on this week's cattle market and what you saw.
Pretty much this week, Casey, what we've seen, I mean, the runs are, I mean, within 500 head of a year ago. I was looking at all the sales that's been selling around. Some of our smaller auctions, I noticed, are their numbers are up. And I think it's because their numbers are up because their cow number, their killing cow numbers are up because they're just dragging them to the closest place to get them sold. But in general, our bigger markets are, Oklahoma City was within 200 or 300 what it had a year ago. Market in general, we've got a softer tone to this thing. I mean, these calves are coming in lighter because they're pulling them early. There's nowhere to go with them. I mean, the gamble is kind of out of the people that, you know, in August, we still had a lot of people buying some light 3-weight calves and light 4-weight calves, the anticipation that we was going to get rain, being very optimistic. And those possibilities look like they're dwindling every day. In general, the market's been a softer tone. Our feeder market in Oklahoma has shown a significant spread between this and the north. Basically, that's quality. I mean, what we're seeing now is our southern cattle that's coming to town. It'll just be lesser quality cattle. I mean, our weighted average in Oklahoma City could be as much as $10 behind what they'd quote one in Mitchell, South Dakota, or Bassett, Nebraska. And it's all because of quality. I mean, their cattle, they don't have a Bremer cross up there. They're all continental crosses, you know, English crosses, and they fit the index. And they'll be on the top end of the premium based cattle.
Well, speaking of, you know, cattle on feed report comes out today. So what are your expectations, or what are you kind of thinking we'll see?
Well, I mean, just like we was talking earlier, I mean, we've seen the estimates from the gurus and they're always pretty close. And it gets down to this. It really don't matter what the actual numbers are. The people trading the market base everything off of what this USD report is. Now, the actual numbers up until that's going to dictate this market and has dictated it for the last three reports has been replacement numbers. They had them, I think the last two or three reports have been in the low 90s. They call placements, and replacements have been normal. We're running the same cattle we were a year ago, maybe a few more, but not less. And I don't know where the USDA comes up with their numbers. I mean, if I can figure it out looking at the market reports, they ought to be able to pull it up and look at it. But I think they're estimating 98% place. And I'd say, you know, that'd be pretty close. And if we do know in the next, well, I mean, I know in our trade territory and our customers, which you just throw that in the mix, you're looking at the next 4 months, the numbers are going to be down. I mean, a lot of the calves already moved. And then the calves that are going to carry over into January and February, they're going to be sold before then. But I don't think we've got an extreme amount of cattle backed up as far as feeders or calves. We'll continue to see runs, but they won't be. We won't see those big October runs like we normally do. I don't think, unless I'm misreading our customer base. So foundation wise, I think we've got a pretty solid foot in here, and it's back to what I said. Our market, I'm optimistic. I'm being realistic about the numbers. Bar some pandemic or government implementation, I'm very positive about our market. And when I say government inflation, it's going to go all the way back to the consumer. I mean, as long as gas don't go over $5 again, and of course we're going to see higher interest. That's a fact. But I think all that'll slow down is, you know, buying new homes and stuff like that. You won't see a lot of people borrowing money, but as long as we don't take money out of the people's pocket that's buying our product, I think we'll see it. Because what you've seen is chicken is higher, pork is higher, and you can still buy hamburger meat for the same price of pork and chicken. That means the average family can still buy beef. Right. Now, I mean, you jump up to your steaks, and yes, but our steaks, I go every time I go through a different city, I'll stop in at the local grocery store. Or a good factor for me to look at the meat prices is going to Sam's. And right now, I know you can buy a choice strip or ribeye for around $9, give or take 50 cents. And I mean, of course, you want a filet, it's going to jump up there $17, $18. But a strip and a ribeye still running $9. And, you know, back 6 months ago, they were $15 to $18. Right. So right. We've brought that off. We've made it still where you can afford beef. And look at your high-end restaurants. You got to get a reservation if you're going to go eat at one of them. Go drive by a Texas Roadhouse. I've never been in one of them that they're empty.
And it's all, they're busy all hours of the day too.
Yes. It doesn't matter. And when you go to Texas Roadhouse, I mean, for what they charge you, you've got as good as, and I'm not running an ad for Texas Roadhouse, but you can pull in there and get a good flavor steak, whether it's a strip or a ribeye, and it's fairly economic, you know, and people in there are eating steaks. You know, you walk by, I don't see a lot of chicken on their plates.
Sure. Well, speaking of that, though, with tighter cattle numbers in play, do you think we're going to continue see beef prices get higher?
Now, I think what we did 3 to 6 months before, we found that we probably have reached the max of what we can get beef. Now, I'm sure meat will get higher. I think the packer knows that we're going to have less fats. We're coming into a time period I don't think we've seen since 2011 and 12. And I think it will be worse as far as numbers as 2011, 12, what's going to be available to kill. We have not seen heifer retention yet. This market's got higher during a drought. If you remember 2011 and 12 drought, we did not start getting higher till the end of 13 when we started getting rain and topped out in 14. We got higher in the middle of this drought, and this drought's not over. I mean, our hay supply, there's a lot of things that's going to be key to our industry, especially us that's in the marketing business. The availability and the volume of these runs from now through April, if we don't get sufficient rains in the springtime, the availability of hay is going to be very nominal in our trade territory from south of Nebraska to the coast and from Arkansas to the west coast. I mean, there's not any hay available.
Well, I know that some producers are being a part of some certified programs to get a little bit higher prices and get better value. So talk a little bit about why that's so important. If you can get into one of those certified programs to get a little bit better value.
Well, you need to do some research. You don't need to get on. There's all kinds of, if you think back for the last 20 years, we've had all kinds of programs from health programs to premium products putting out that they were, you know, if you give them their shots, and there's a premium based market, and we never seen it. I mean, I would get so flustered with a customer that would go to a meeting and he'd come in there and he would have his calves. And then he'd get upset because he just got the market for them. And I said, well, those people have to send buyers in there to buy them. Now, what we're seeing today, I've seen a more drastic change in the last 5 years in the premium programs. And I'm not a advertiser for any breed, but the Angus Association was 20 years ahead of every other breed out there. And they got the CAB brand. They've kept strict quality control on it. They've got you. What restaurant do you not go into that the first thing on the deal is you see CAB,
right?
And get out of our area, get out of the farmer and the rancher sense, and get into the suit and tie guy. And when they go, they have no clue about what it is besides they've heard advertisement of the better quality, and you're getting the premium beef when you get a CAB steak. Now in the last. And it's probably been longer than I think. I mean, it's probably because I don't see it as or read it as much. But in the last 5 years, 44 Ranch has done a tremendous job promoting their beef product. They did what some other big registered herds were trying to do 20 years ago. They didn't have the follow through or the backing or they didn't have the integrated personnel to get out there and do it. 44 Farms is, you know, I mean, they're marketing their bulls. Then they went the next level and got a premium base, what they'd give back for those calves or those feeder cattle. And then they got them in a feed yard, and then they got them in a packing house. And they went to the next level of getting them put in the retail stores. And they went with they've done a huge deal with Walmart. And I mean, Walmart sells worlds of meat. You can go into Walmart now and buy prime beef. And used to in Oklahoma, the only place you could get prime, you had to go to Homeland or Crest. And Crest is a local business. I mean, they're Oklahoma business. You know, they now Crest would be more economical wise the way they price their premium deal. And I'm not for sure that they had 44 farms, but 44 farms has got their deal so well tuned. And you're seeing, and you go to restaurants and you see 44 ranch farm raised beef, it'll be on the high end of the table now. They've done a tremendous job of marketing a product. That's what you've got to be a part of to do it. And now to get in that, there's a lot of, you know, if you're going to get in these premium products, selling this, I believe they call it Gap 4, where you fit into where Whole Food buys your product, where it ends up at a Whole Food store. You go, your whole ranching operation goes through a, they come through and inspect it. And you've got to meet a criteria. Your trucker's got to meet a criteria. It falls under the beef quality control handling.
I was going to say, you can't just decide you're going to do this one day and start at the next. This is going to require some extensive background and homework, right?
Yes. If I know our customers, I mean, our average shipper at Apache, where we'll run from 1500 to 3000 cattle on an average a week, the average shipper is 12 head. There's not many of them that can fit in that. But what they can do right now, if you're a cow herd running 5 to 25 cattle, you want to get them black and you want to buy good bulls, because it's a cooperative when you bring your cattle to sale. You're the guy running 5 heads, depending on the guy that's got 50 head or 100 head. So you've got all these cattle coming through a barn that are of the same genetics as closely as you can get or quality. And then you've got those buyers that look for those cattle. And if you can do that, instead of bringing me, and this is going to step on a lot of toes, and I was raised in Southeast Oklahoma, and we run crossbred cows. That's what fits that rough country. But if you bring me a set of three-colored crossbred calves, and they sell them behind your neighbors that's running an English-based cow with black bulls, you're going to be very upset. And yeah, you've got a tremendous operation. Let's say you're great in your management. You got your cow herd cooled down, and you've got your calving period tightened down. You're doing everything that they tell you to do, but you're taking a discount. You're taking a discount on quality. I mean, if you're wanting to run a different breed, you've got to have an animal that is weaning a calf that's 100 pounds bigger than your Angus calf to get the same net dollars. That's what I tell people. Everybody's cow herd costs the same to wean that calf at 205 days. Everybody's basically got the same amount of dollars in them. I mean, if you figure, whether it's your land cost, and if you figure it, most people figure if they got their land paid for, there's not any, all they charge off is out-of-pocket expenses. But you're going to have, with a 90% calf crop, you're going to have $650 in that calf when you wean it, whether it weighs 400 or 700. So you got to make them bigger. Yeah, you got to get to genetics where if they fall in that 550 to 650 weight, you're going to get the top end if you've got the CAB type calves. And the other producer, I mean, these novice breeds, these Longhorn crosses, these Karenny crosses, I had a deal the other day on Murray Grays, and I had the biggest write-up you ever seen on them. I'm sure they're good Murray Grays, but there's 10 head of them.
Right.
And I hate it for the people, but somebody's a whaler promoter and got rid of some Murray Gray bulls and cows, but you don't have anything when you get done.
All really good information for all of our producers, Bob. We sure appreciate your insight and for visiting with us today.
One other thing.
Sure.
When you bring your heifers to town anymore, if we don't guarantee heifers open, it eliminates bidders completely. And I'm talking to the tune of, it can be as great as it from $10 to $20 a hundred. So you try to keep your bulls. If you're weaning your calves, get those heifers away from the bulls. And that's the biggest problem right now is what I'm seeing. Like yesterday, the three buyers were buying heifers. They preg check all of them. Because if you've ever had a heifer in a feed yard that's pregnant, she's dead. And that's just added cost to the cost of the end product for everybody to handle them. So either preg check them or handle them where you're not around, where you keep them away from their brothers and their daddy, and bring us open heifers to town. Because a bred heifer, it'll cost you $150 a head.
Wow. Good advice. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate you, Casey.